And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Oops. Don't forget that smelling out of the mouth fresh is important. Shower every day, brush your teeth, and smell great.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, July 20th. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie, Tass Mellis.
That guy is so right. My wife came to my bedside the other morning and asked, "Did you fart?" And I said, "No." She said, "It must be your breath."
Oh!
It was my morning breath. Wow. I gotta have a banaka bedside. Weird.
Jeremy Fragrance, yeah, take his tips. He usually does a spin, too, but that one didn't have a spin in it. We got our top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Hey, yo.
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee. And finally, the man making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button. Leave your comments below the vid to help us defeat the algorithm. And subscribe. Lee, did you see that Austin Powers was trending on Twitter this morning?
Yes. Because
of the dick rocket? Yeah.
No, I didn't know it was because of that. I thought it was for another reason that we'll get to in a later show today. But
okay.
Johnson!
Keep sending in your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Best way to get them in front of us. And finally, go grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Going to want to bookmark that website, because if this series ends tonight, we will very likely have a special limited edition t-shirt dropping to celebrate an iconic No Dunk season. That's if the Bucks win. NoDunks.com, but we'll tell you all about it, because we're going to be back here tonight if the Bucks win. All right? A lot hinges on this game tonight. Milwaukee wins the title tonight. We're going to jump on after to discuss it. If Phoenix gives us a game seven, if Scott Foster gives us a game seven, we'll be back in the morning to do a Wednesday morning show. But let's get into the game six preview. We'll do a little Is This News later. Tass, get us started, man. We're doing it for every game here in the finals. What's just the biggest question to you heading into game six tonight?
Well, the start of the game, I think, matters. You said the other day, Skeets, that a 16-point lead doesn't mean, what was the term?
Dick shit, right.
I think in game six,
right.
It absolutely does mean dick shit. Maybe it means shit dick, because okay. I think if it's flipped, if the Milwaukee Bucks get out to a big lead like the Suns did in game five, going back to Milwaukee here, I think it's over. I think the Suns won't have the firepower to be able to fight back. They had a lot of things going for them in game number five. Jrue Holiday got into foul trouble early. The Bucks got a little cute with trying to get Brook Lopez going. They're getting him on the move. They're getting him on the roll. Jrue Holiday threw one into the Sun trying to get it to him. There's turnover after turnover after turnover. And I think the Bucks played a little bit smarter in this game. And the Bucks are just... they're showing how they can win, obviously, in game three, four, and five. So many more possessions and able to capitalize on turnovers. I think at the beginning of this game, the Suns have to be cautious. Now, the Bucks, kind of played into the Suns' hands there, I think, in game five to allow the Suns to get out to that 16-point lead by trying to get somebody else other than their big three of Middleton, Holiday, and Giannis going by trying to go to Brook. Maybe they go to Brook in post moves like, you know, more standard stuff where they can't turn the ball over like they were in Game 5. Or I think, this is a little nuts, but I think we might see a little Bryn Forbes action off the bench, because Coach Bud doesn't really trust Jeff Teague, didn't play him in the second half of Game 5. So I think they want something off the bench. And I understand people are saying, you know, Pat Connaughton has been great. Put him in the starting lineup. But at the same time, you want one guy who's really, really playing well off the bench. You want one competent guy, or one guy who's playing well. So competent Connaughton is going to continue to come off the bench.
Right.
And I think they might shove some Bryn Forbes minutes in there to get them going. But they have so many guys playing pretty well. While the Suns, really, it does come down to Chris Paul. I know we say it over and over and over again just to keep them close. But for the Milwaukee Bucks and their fans, this is their Game 7. Everyone's talking about, whoa, if we go to Game 7, the Phoenix Suns fans will be bonkers. I think the Suns fans, or excuse me, the Bucks fans are going to be equally as nuts in the Deer District, in the arena. And so, again, the Suns, even though they shot 55% last game, which is bound to come down somewhat, I don't think they have the firepower to be able to come back. So if Drew can stay on the floor, of course, it's a big advantage for the Bucks. If they don't get cute, the Bucks can get a lead, and maybe this doesn't come back for the Phoenix Suns.
So when then, Tass, would you be a My Buddy Grish? What would the lead need to be for Milwaukee in this first quarter? Like you're saying, like a strong start. When do you say it's a wrap? Like you're My Buddy Grish or an old Armenian man watching basketball. It's over. How many points? That's what I want to know.
Wait. You got to be a Grish or an old Armenian man? I remember a man by the name of J.E. Skeets saying it feels like the Phoenix Suns won the title here at the end of Game 2, Skeets.
I'm talking about the actual game here right now. Jesus Christ. This guy loves to keep fucking receipts, doesn't he, man? Every goddamn podcast you got
to
say.
I know. You always like to bring it up.
I'll start doing it for you. I'll start writing them all down here.
That's fair.
Jesus Christ.
Because you always bring it up when you get it right. You don't want to bring it up when you get it wrong. When?
What are you talking about?
How many things bring up from the preseason? Oh, I called this one. I called this one.
I called Damian Lillard for MVP. I guess I was wrong on that one. Damn. Shit.
Dick.
Bury on me. Lee, have a crack at me. I called MVP for Damian Lillard. I got it wrong, man. What now? Holy
crap. The temper boy is back.
It's like
he's
every
back,
goddamn
ladies and gentlemen.
Holy crap.
That's good to keep.
What are you writing all these receipts like you're Tom Haberstroh putting up post-it notes on Twitter? Jesus,
hey,
Murphy.
Man, don't worry about it. You got to keep receipts. They do it on Inside the NBA. Skeets, I said Bulls are back for an entire season, buddy.
Right, right.
It's okay to be wrong sometimes. It's more important to be entertaining than to
I
be
know.
Right.
I'm talking about the game. Tass, what score so we can come back tomorrow morning and I can say you were right or you're wrong, or tonight. What's the score got to be for the Bucks in the first quarter to say it's over?
Yeah, well, let's go back to the shit, dick shit. I think in that ballpark, I think if it's a 15, 15 is good with me. Calling it, 15
wow.
points. I think it'll be tough for the Suns. On the road, deflated. That Chris Paul shove at the end of Game 5 was, one of those frustration things that I think the Suns, you know, they're going to fight, obviously. But there's something deep down that's a little bit, you know, bugging them a little bit. And I don't know if Chris Paul, number one, is right. The stat line is good, as we've talked about. But if he can't play 40 minutes, as he hasn't played the last three games, campaign's going to have a big game. So that's a huge key. If campaign's having a huge game, then the Suns... Yeah, the Suns can win, but for some reason, the campaign hasn't been that guy in the finals as he has been the first few series. So the Bucks, they get better as the series go on, just as your predictions do, Skeets. I'm not sure. I'm just making a receipts comment here. The Bucks too, they get better as the game goes on. They just get tougher. They get more possessions, and they rely more on their big three. They can play around in the first quarter. I think Bud's going to get cute. I think Bryn Forbes is coming off the bench. Will he be a 30 under 30, have a big game? I don't know. That's a stupid Forbes reference. That didn't make sense. Anyway, I think 15 is the line for me after
okay.
first quarter.
15. Yeah, geez. I guess that'd be big, but you're right. The Suns were up 16, and they were looking good in Game 5. And the Bucks had it gone like that, as we talked about. It felt like 4 minutes without Giannis playing, by the way, at the start of the second quarter, where they suddenly got back into it. All right, Trey, what are you watching for tonight? What's your big question?
First thing I'm watching is the minutes for the starters on the Suns. They've been putting in their 40s during the finals. Booker's done it three times. Ayton's done it twice. Chris Paul did it once. And Jay Crowder did it once. But I think all of those guys, and Mikal Bridges, who's yet to get to 40 in the finals, they should be ready to go 45 to 48 tonight. Suns starters have been better than the Bucks starters. I think everybody on the Suns is a positive plus minus. The starters, except for Chris Paul, he's like a minus 0.6 because he plays a ton of these minutes with all bench units. I can see the Cams kind of getting a little bit of a taste here in the first half. Cam Johnson, maybe run him out for 4 minutes, see if he's got that jumper working to give Ayton a rest. Campaign comes in for either Booker or Chris Paul, gets them a rest in the first half. But in the second half, I would be rolling with the starters as much as I possibly can, because once the Suns go to their bench, they've got all small guys there. The Dario Saric injury has become a problem. Skeets, I was wrong about that, buddy. They can't play their bench right now because the bench gets slaughtered every time they go out there. So yeah, I would like to see the Suns play a ton of minutes from their starters. They honestly have to be ready to go almost the entire game. Chris Paul needs to be better. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later, but he needs to be better in this game. The Suns are a team that is built around two star guards. One of them has been holding up his end of the bargain, and the other has not. And I also think the Suns need to get DeAndre Ayton involved quite a bit more here in Game 6. He had a monster Game 1, ended up with 23-19. People were calling him the best center in the Western Conference, and since then, stats have been fine, but the impact has definitely lessened. Right, he had 10 points in Game 2. They won that one. Game 3, 18 points. Suns lost it, though. 16 in the first half for Ayton and just 2 in the second thanks to foul trouble. Game 4, 6 points in the loss. Game 5, 20 points. 12 of those came in the first half. They just forget about him. And I think a lot of that is Devin Booker. He's been looking to get his shot, especially in the second halves of these games. He's trying to win this from the mid-range rather than getting Ayton involved inside, getting some buckets at the rim. But they need to remember DeAndre Ayton is there in the pick and roll. If it's a switch, get him the ball. Let him shoot a little dinker and dumper. Let him shoot a little bank shot off the glass. They need somebody who scores inside. And also, I would say Devin Booker and Chris Paul need to try and get layups. You know, they're great mid-range basketball shooters, beautiful shooters of the mid-range. Mm. But you need to shoot some layups in this because the Suns are almost all mid-range right now. And when you're not putting pressure on the rim, the corner threes are therefore not open. That's another place where the Suns can make some hay, is getting some open three-pointers in the corner, which they have not been able to do the past three games. So I'm looking for big minutes from the Suns, and I'm looking for Booker and Paul to keep DeAndre Ayton involved.
Lele, what about you?
Well, speaking of Devin Booker, particularly in the fourth quarter of this series, he's been scoring okay, averaging around 7 points a game, but he's had zero assists in the fourth quarter, and he's only had one free throw attempt, which he missed, and that was in Game 5. So, yeah, I think that Devin Booker being aggressive, going inside for layups, getting into the paint, and perhaps trying to get some foul calls could help him get into a little bit more of a flow, because he is still their best shooter and best scorer. So they need him in that fourth quarter, and he hasn't really been able to do that. This is a guy who got to the line 6 times a game through the regular season. Now, that's, of course, through the whole game, not through one quarter there. But I think there is a little bit of an uncomfortable trend for Phoenix and Booker in that fourth quarter. As great as he's been, he's put up a couple of 40s. He's been fantastic, apart from one game in this series where he only had 10 points, and he didn't even play in the fourth quarter of that one. But, you know, it's almost like you still need to do a little bit more, because it's not going to be anyone else getting inside and getting those free throws and just trying to get those baskets. Whether or not, you know, just going inside creates opportunities. Maybe he does get a lob to DeAndre Ayton. Maybe he does find Bridges in the corner or Crowder or someone like that. But the offense, of course, is not just if you score the ball. It's whether or not you can create and set up for your teammates. And again, this is not in any way a criticism of Devin Booker, because I think he's been fantastic. But it has stood out a little bit that in those fourth quarters, he hasn't been able to generate the same sort of offense for his teammates or even get some chippies for himself there. So I think that's going to be a focal point, because I think this is going to be a pretty tight game. I don't think you're going to see a blowout one way or the other early on in this one. I think this is almost going to have a Game 7 feel to it, because, you know, in Game 7s, they tend to be a little bit scrappy, a little bit tougher to score on. And I think we're going to see that tonight, knowing what's at stake. So if it is close, if you've got someone like Devin Booker on your team who's a fantastic scorer and shooter, if he can get a couple of those easy ones in that fourth quarter, I think that could be a good sign for the Phoenix Suns. So we'll see.
You don't think the criticism is fair at all that we're seeing here with Booker, and we're seeing the stat that he has no assists in the fourth quarters, and maybe he's got blinders on? What do you think?
I think overall he's been fantastic for Phoenix. Yeah. So I don't want it to be like, hey man, guys putting out back-to-back 40-point games, but you know you've been bad in fourth quarters. I mean, right. Yeah, his team's won 2 of 5 games. I mean, he's been great still, apart from one game he had a bad game. Yeah. Other than that, he's been good. So it's tough to sort of, you know, point at him and say it's your fault. But in those fourth quarters, that's where, again, you look to your stars to sort of, you know, throw the playbook out the window a little bit and just like, give me the ball. I'm getting us a bucket. I'm getting someone else a bucket. I'm getting to the free throw line, something like that. But he's a young player, obviously never been in this situation before, and he's no doubt... He and Monty Williams and Chris Paul have been talking about it, I'm sure, to say tonight's the night where, you know, you're going to have to do that in that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at who's going to have the big bounce back performance in this game when it just comes to key players. And by process of elimination, I think we only have one guy. And I know you're going to talk about him a little bit more, TK, you said, in Chris Paul. But like Chris Middleton had the big bounce back in game 4. That was huge. Jrue Holiday, of course, in game 5. Massive from him. So who's going to be the game 6 hero, that bounce back performance? Well, it can't really be Booker, as we talked about. Like, he can be better in the fourth, yes, in terms of playmaking and getting to the line maybe, but he has put up 2 40-point games here in back-to-back games here in the finals. That's amazing. So it's not going to be really him. Well, it's not Giannis, because he's averaging 32, 13, and 6 in the finals. So he's been pretty consistently amazing. So that leaves Chris Paul, I think, here. Again, as key players to have a huge bounce back. And it's strange because he had 21-11 in game 5. He hit 3 threes, 9-15 from the floor. He only turned the ball over once, which was a big problem in the games prior. So he cleaned up that. But it didn't feel like he just had control of that game like we know Chris Paul has done many times in his career before. And so he needs to be awesome tonight. And I think it goes hand in hand with not only, you guys are saying put pressure at the rim for sure, but they do, and they talked about this after game 5. We got to get more 3-point attempts. Mm-hmm. That's what Phoenix said. Like, they only attempted 19 threes on Saturday, their lowest output for any regular season or playoff game this season, and that was after only 23 in game 4. They need to create some more 3-point shots, and a lot of that is, of course, getting into the middle and trying to draw the defense in. But the Bucks are good at that. I mean, they're staying at home on the guys they want to stay at home at. They feel confident with, hey, Booker can get his 40 if it's a lot of it coming in the mid-range and he's hitting his Kobe-like shots. We'll live with that. So credit to them, but the Suns know because they talked about it, and I expect them to shoot a lot more 3-pointers. And I think that includes Chris Paul, by the way. I think he was perfect in game 5 from distance. Mm-hmm. I think I would like to see him take way more than 3 or 4 tonight because he's a great shooter. Mm-hmm. And maybe same with Booker, and he's not afraid to let them go from distance. So that's something to watch, and I think Chris Paul has to have a special game here to give us a game 7 in Phoenix. And I think he can. Though, of course, we get the Scott Foster angle now. And who else we got? We got brothers there and we got Lou. Like, it almost sucks that they're the officials tonight because one way or the other, we're going to have people saying tinfoil hat on conspiracy. It's like, well, either the NBA called it into those guys and they won a game 7 or, well, no, Chris Paul's, he can never beat Scott Foster. And then
block, block, block. Yeah, I don't listen to any referee talk. I can't stand it. I'm trying to watch a basketball
there
game.
There you go.
I'm not watching the stripes. I'm not a Foot Locker. I don't care. I just can't stand any of that talk. I think the Suns offense, you're right, has to get threes going. I think the ball just has to be in Chris Paul's hands more. We're talking about Devin Booker, going for 40 and being in the mid-range and doing that and not setting up guys. I mean, what more can you ask Devin Booker to do? You want him to be a James Harden 50-point triple-double guy? Like, he is playing so well, but the Suns' offense doesn't get going with him, in the mid-range. He's not getting everybody else going. And the Bucks just have too many guys going for the Suns to play like that. I think the ball just has to be in Chris Paul's hands. It sounds nice to say Chris Paul's got to have 30 or 35 and fire away from three-point land, but I'm just not sure what he has left or what's going on. If he's averaging 35 minutes the last 3 games, there seems to be something that's kind of off there. So yeah, I think Keith gets in the lane and gets everybody going.
Like we talked about, I guess, last show where we were talking about game 5. It's like maybe we find out there is some weird injury going on with him. Maybe it's a possibility. But the other problem is it's Jrue Holiday, right, Tess? I mean,
part of it, yeah.
It's Jrue Holiday is probably the best defensive guard we have in the game. He's top 3 for sure. He's physical as hell.
Is he underrated again?
Well, yeah, I think he has come back.
He's
to
a bit of a Ferris wheel himself,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah, we need to see a bounce back game from Jrue Holiday, to be quite honest. He had a bounce back game in five, but you need to bounce back to that same level if the Bucks are going to win this one. The last time they played in Milwaukee, 4-for-20. Nice for me, but not nice for the Bucks. Jrue Holiday's got to be better, but Chris Paul has had his opportunities, right? I think it was the second quarter. It was Chris Paul on the bench, basically, that the Bucks came back against. Game four, fourth quarter, Chris Paul on the bench. That's who the Bucks came back against. Right. Chris Paul has had opportunities. He needs to seize them, and he needs to do it tonight. And I'm with you, Tass. It's not going to be the referees that decide it unless the referees decide it in Chris Paul's brain, because unfortunately, that's why people keep bringing it up. Chris Paul keeps bringing it up. How many times has Chris Paul talked about Scott Foster to the point where you see Scott Foster show up on the referee assignment and you're like, uh-oh, that's going to be a problem. Ignore it, Chris Paul. Yeah. Nobody should tell him that Scott Foster is going to be out there. Get him some blinders so you don't see Scott Foster, and then it's not kicking around in your head that, oh, we lost this game before it even started.
What game did Foster do in this finals?
It was the third game, I think.
It was third. Okay, yeah. It was in back in Milwaukee. Okay, I couldn't remember if he did game two or not. Okay.
Yeah, it was Chris Paul's worst game.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez, it really is in his head.
DeAndre Ayton foul trouble.
Yeah, that's right. That is. Okay, good. Good call. I couldn't remember if it was game two or three.
We're talking about him.
God damn it. Scott Foster always wins. He always wins. Hey, don't sleep on Tony Brothers having a moment, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a big Tony Brothers bounce back game. Can't wait to see what he's doing out there.
I guess game four was Chris Paul's worst game, but it was the Suns' worst game in game three when Mr. Foster was out there. You're right about bounce back games. Listen, these are good, obviously the greatest players in the world. So, you know, when they have an off game, they tend to bounce back. My worry is the Bucks will bounce back in quarter number one for them because they had such a bad first quarter. They just know that they have to get things right and then start off well. And then I just hope it doesn't snowball for the Phoenix Suns. You know, we want a close one down the stretch.
Well, I mean, if the Suns take care of the ball, hit the glass, and I think generate more threes, like they have been actually, when you like look at the numbers, they're sort of dominating in the half court offensively in this series, like still over the Bucks. But, you know, then you start throwing in transition and again, working on the glass. And it's like the Bucks are, you know, better overall offensively per gleaning the glass, but not in the half court. And which is wild. But that's where, you know, Phoenix has always been good at that, and Milwaukee has always sort of struggled at that. But they generate all these other points. So, of course, that's something to watch, too, the turnover game and just whether or not they can take care of the ball. All right, well, let's get to our player prop bets for tonight. Lee, we always start with you because you just opened the link for the first time here live on the show.
Yes, I do. Yes,
and,
I do.
You just sort of throw a dart and something maybe sticks or not. So what do you got?
Okay, so I think back in Milwaukee, the crowd's going to be hyped. Brook Lopez wins the tip.
Yeah, I think he's won all five before.
Okay, well, I feel okay about this one. And I think Jrue Holiday gets the first basket for Milwaukee. First field goal, that is. So it's not the first point. It's first field goal. And the Bucks go on to win this game at $8.50. I think that's nice. I like that. Jrue Holiday, first basket. Parlaying that into a Milwaukee win, you get $8.50 if you put a dollar down on that. So have at it, people, and let me know how you go with your money.
Have you hit the first basket yet in the series?
No, but I think I've got the back end of the bet a couple of times. So, yes, okay. You know, that doesn't really matter if you don't get the front end of it. But, you know, it's just fun. It's fun. You know, keep you engaged.
Okay. So Jrue Holiday hitting the first basket.
Yep.
And then you have the Bucks winning tonight. You think this ends tonight?
I have the Bucks finishing the job tonight, yes.
Okay. He wants that to happen.
Oh, I want that.
He really wants it. He doesn't want a game seven because it's going to screw with his travel plans, his Europe travel plans.
I think the Bucks do win. I just think they have been playing better. And yes, it certainly wouldn't hurt if they did win.
I'm with you. I'm flying Friday morning for a little trip. So if we go to a game seven, we're doing a late night show that night, no matter who wins. And I'm flying early Friday morning. I'd prefer not to do a show Thursday night. So, yeah, let's rock it, Bucks. Let's finish the job. Although I think, Lee, I noticed the light cast on your face as we start this show. Is it like 4:30 in the morning? You're watching the sunrise over there?
It's the afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, like it's
God, yeah, it's the afternoon. Yeah, my clock is off. I'm in a dungeon here, so I thought it was 10:30 p.m., but it's 10:30 a.m.
No, but the sun will be rising by the time, if the series ends tonight or Friday, it doesn't matter. The sun will be rising for sure by the time we do the show then.
Yeah. How many espressos do you have in, throughout the day or later tonight?
Nah, I don't have too many. Nah. I just, it's easy to get up actually for the finals. You know, it's not like we're getting up talking about, you know, Timberwolves pace is just a regular season game in March. Like, I don't know about this one. It's right. Actually been fun. I just put the laptop on me, lie in bed there, put the headphones on. Wife stays asleep. As long as she's asleep, everyone's happy. Everyone's at peace.
Oh, so we're getting Whisperly Ellis tonight.
No, because look.
Hold on. You have a hotel room that has a sliding glass door that will separate it.
Yeah, and there's this a curtain there as well. There's a curtain there as well. So I've
never seen that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Did you ask for that?
Outside? Yeah, no, it seems like you would be outside with that sliding door.
Nah. But
room has two beds in it. It's one room has two beds in it, but you can divide it with a.
No. That's where the boys are around the corner here. They're on the other side over there, but they're tucked away.
Okay.
And they'll be asleep anyway. They won't mind. But I'm more talking away from my wife with the door closed.
With the sliding glass door inside the room. All right.
And a curtain. So, yeah.
Okay, you'll close the curtain too out of respect? Yes.
I will.
Okay, good. All right. These guys are giving us player prop bets and who they're going to win tonight because of their travel plans. I love it. TK, I know you're not going anywhere. You got a house. What's your player prop bet for tonight?
Well, if travel plans get messed up and we somehow end up with a show of just me and Skeets, I think the line is set at 1.5 screams at each other, and I would take the over if that happens. I looked into my prop bet from last time. The over-under game went 3-6. I'm going to stay away from that one on the old 0.5s. But Chris Paul, his combined points and assists for tonight is 30.5.
Okay.
And I'm liking the over. He's averaging 21 a game in the finals, 8.8 assists. That's right at the line. Obviously, this is the biggest game of Chris Paul's career, and we're not going to see him go out just as a passenger here. If he's hitting jumpers, I think this one is easy. His assist totals in the finals, lowest so far, is 7. You just need a few jumpers if that's the case. Even in Game 5, when it felt like Chris Paul was a little bit tentative, like you're saying, Skeets, went for 21 and 11. That's an over, baby. I'm expecting a lot more from CP3 tonight. The Suns need a lot more from him to extend the final, so I'm going over 30.5 combined points and assists.
I like that one a lot. Also, this is going to be fascinating for the Chris Middleton Ferris wheel experiment here. His over under for points, I believe, is 25.5 tonight. He's had two, he had the amazing game 4, was good in game 5. But are we coming down? Is this like the rare bat? Not rare, but is this a part of the cycle here where Middleton now has maybe a stinker in him or 20? So I'm actually looking at that. Hit me. I have to believe in the Ferris wheel, Chris Middleton, thing we came up with. So I almost have to bet on Middleton under 25.5 points tonight. Now, that's not to say the Bucks don't win the game. I mean, it's still possible. He can go for, 23, 24, but I'll go under.
But, sometimes on those home video shows or someone's like got a video of like a Ferris wheel at an attraction that just gets stuck.
Yeah.
And people are stuck and they have to get the security in and help them get it. Maybe Chris Middleton's Ferris wheel has malfunctioned and he's just stuck at the top.
Well, I saw people joking that Budenholzer unplugged the Ferris wheel ride. Timed it perfectly. It's possible.
I mean, it's possible, yeah.
What goes up must come down, Lily, especially with Middleton.
The problem is, though, he's due then for a stinker in Game 7 as well.
That's right.
Absolute stinker.
They've timed it wrong.
I know.
No, we'll see. I'll go under Chris Middleton. Tass, sorry, did we get your player prop bet? I know you like the Bucks winning overall, but did you hit us with one? An actual player prop bet?
Yeah, I think, the Bucks will probably finish the job. Who the heck knows? Going back to the opening tip, I guess you said that Brook Lopez won all 5, Skeets, but he lost one after a tie-up against Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder! What the? So can you bet that Brook Lopez will win the opening tip but will lose a tip later on in the game? Probably not.
Mid-game tip.
There's only one, man knows the answer to that, Tassie.
There he is. There's our friend Cam Stewart. What a Brian Blessing that guy is. Trey, you know, we went through every one of the guys' turnover numbers last game. As you said, Trey was handing them out. Will Brook Lopez, for instance, have over under 0.5 turnovers? I said under because I didn't expect him to get the ball on the move like they were giving it to him in the first quarter. He went over in the first 6 minutes on that number. And I was getting hate on Twitter from a friend of the program, Dana Smart, Great Dane 92. Call me out on a prop bet. What? He's already over in the first. Yeah. I like it. I like getting in the nitty gritty because I do take this very seriously. I thought that was crazy that Brook went over in the first 6 minutes. Am I going to go under? Nah. I think they're going to go to Brook a little bit. I think, as we've said, you know, Chris Paul needs to be good. There's no doubt about that. But I think, in his mind, what good means is those three-pointers for his team.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of guys around him will shoot a ton. And so back to the old Jay Crowder line. I think 10.5 points is low. I go over 10.5 points with Jay Crowder just because he'll get his shots up tonight.
Okay, let's hear from you guys in the stream team. Let us know your favorite player prop bets for Game 6 tonight. Nice to have basketball back in our lives. Could be for the last time, at least an NBA game, or in a long time, which is always weird to wrap your head around. But maybe we get a Game 7. You never know. You know, you said it here, Lee, before we move on. It was like the team shot lights out in Game 5. So I do wonder what type of Game 6 we get. Like, do they regress a little bit? Do they stay hot because they figured some things out in terms of spaces or where they're getting their shots? Or is it have that Game 7 vibe, which is usually a goddamn dogfight, and it's real, real ugly? I mean, sounds like you're leaning towards that it could be not the prettiest game in terms of guys hitting shots and stuff like that, but very entertaining still, of course.
And I honestly think for the Bucks, it's okay if it stays close for most of the game, because as we saw in Phoenix, that big lead, and coaches talk about it a lot as well, sometimes it's hard to hold on to a lead like that, you know, because you just know the other team is going to make a run at some point. So if it's sort of within that, you know, 5 to 10 point range, that's not too bad for Milwaukee, because for the most part, I would much rather be the home team when it is one of those ones, because sometimes those loose balls just pop out. Obviously, it went the other way in Phoenix last game, but the Bucks were leading that one. But they go your way. The crowd's behind you. The little tip in, the little extra hustle plays maybe fall in your favor. So I think that's okay for the Bucks. I think, a big, 15, 20 point lead in the first half is, sure, it's great. But if you know the other team's making that run, can be just a little bit nervous for the home team. So we'll see. I think it is just going to be tight. And I think the Suns shot 68% from three in game five, I believe it was, and lost.
Just didn't shoot a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing. Maybe they are just like, you know what, we've got to get another 10 to 15 of those bad boys up if we're shooting them like that. But I don't know. It just feels, I know it's not game seven, but it just sort of feels like it's going to have that vibe to it tonight.
Yeah, word is there's going to be 65,000 people in the Deer District tonight.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of deer.
That was a typo when I saw that. I was like, what? Nope. Apparently, they're pretty excited too, that they're going to win this title here for the first time in a long time tonight in Milwaukee and celebrate. So.
And now I don't feel good. Now I don't feel good about the game. That's like 2019 when we were in Toronto, game five.
Yeah.
Right.
And I felt like this thing is over, of course.
Yeah, Lee Ellis thought it was over. Lee Ellis was a real old Armenian guy, my buddy Grish.
Hey, me too, man. I was wearing my finest purple jacket. Oh, we're styling here at the finals. Last show ever.
Well, that was Nick Nurse's fault. Sorry.
Yeah, well, no. That was Lee Ellis was in the press box, as I've told this story many times, smacking the back because he thought the Raptors were winning a title when they were up. What were they up? Six.
I think was the biggest they'd lead, and then it was a timeout, and then it was a Steph three, a Clay three, and did Iguodala hit a three as well? Yeah. I can't remember.
I thought the Raps were up eight. I could have sworn. But anyway, you were going nuts when they were. And there was like 2.5 minutes to go, right? The place was rocking.
Like, after that Kawhi three, I was like, oh, we're home, baby. We're home.
It's never over, man. It's never over. Even the Bucks in game five were up like 10 pretty late.
Yeah.
Chance to win it. I mean, Booker has a chance to take the lead. And then
and
obviously the great
speaking of Chris Paul, I mean, he walked into a three there the other night to sort of cut it, I think, maybe to 4 points. I mean, that sort of a breakdown is exactly the sort of thing that Chris Paul can cash in on. And, you know, that is, so yeah, as bad as, you know, or no, he hasn't been bad, but if he gets an opportunity, you don't want to leave him alone either. So it's going to be just crazy tonight. I don't know what's going to happen.
All right. Like I said, if the Bucks win tonight, if a couple of the guys are calling it, they're saying it's over. We'll be back here later tonight, back on YouTube, flip it into a podcast to react immediately. Lee will be whispering. No, he won't be. No, he won't be because he's got this sliding glass door. Yeah, he'll be going nuts. So, yeah, join us tonight if the Bucks win. If not, we'll see you, of course, on Wednesday morning. All right, let's take a break. We do have some Is This News, some other NBA topics that we can get into, but we'll be right back because we got to hear from our sponsors here.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Time for a little Is This News. There's other things going on besides the NBA Finals, so I got some headlines for you guys. Yeah, talking about those Olympics, we got another headline from Team USA. It comes by way of The Athletic, a great little website, I know. Team USA, Zach LaVine in health protocols, not traveling with the team to Tokyo. TK, is this news?
Definitely news. Maybe not quite as big as news as Bradley Beal and Kevin Love, but it had been a couple of days without a Team USA setback, so of course, it's news. I think Joe Vardon at The Athletic nailed it. If it wasn't for bad luck, Team USA wouldn't have any luck at all, because not only is Zach LaVine going into health and safety protocols due to an abundance of caution, this is his second time in a couple of months, which means as of right now, Team USA has one guard heading to Tokyo, Damian Lillard, who is involved in a whole bunch of off-court stuff right now dealing with the Blazers. Team USA also is sending three former NBA players from the select team as backups, but the silver lining is that Team USA is hoping Zach LaVine will be able to join the team in Tokyo eventually. I don't think that they would put that in the press release if it were out of the question, so maybe this is a little bit more minor, more of a contact tracing thing. Like I said, it was done out of abundance of caution, which is certainly the smart move to make here, but this Team USA team, just when it seems like they're actually going to start to play basketball and get to figure out what their team is going to be like in the Olympics, something else happens, because Zach LaVine had kind of moved up the pecking order when Bradley Beal went out. So now we're looking for the next Zach LaVine after the next Bradley Beal, and apparently it's going to be John Jenkins. John Jenkins, Jingleheimer Schmidt flying over to Tokyo, might be running with Team USA out there. It's just every single day. How are we getting a Team USA bit of news every single day?
Yeah, it is crazy. They'll be hoping that Booker and Drew and Middleton will be joining them. So, yeah, you'll have two more guards there in Booker and Holiday. But and look, Zach LaVine, you're right, TK. I think the hope is here he's still going to get over there, and that this is just them being super cautious, contact tracing, you know, maybe whatever, a test goes wrong, something, and that he'll eventually join. But yeah, what were you going to say, Lee?
Well, I know people talk about Booker, Middleton, and Holiday, but let's say it goes seven games, then, you know, at least one of those people will be wanting to party and celebrate, but instead they have to fly out to Tokyo, just coming off a grueling, like, final series, and have to play with guys who they've just gone up against. Like, it's like 14-hour flight out to Tokyo as well. And then you have to go in and acclimatize yourself with new guys and just keep on playing basketball. Like, it's, I don't think that's the smartest idea either. I just don't know how you can be at the peak of your, you know, professional career here, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, forget about it. You just won a championship for at least one person. Now go out and play more basketball. Like, and with guys, you know these guys, but you haven't played with them. And I don't know. It just, to me, I'm not sure that that would be the best. They're not going to come over there the freshest and healthiest and ready to sort of commit to Team USA straight away. So,
well, and the first game is on Saturday. Is it Saturday where they play France? It's Sunday. Okay, so it does buy them a day there, Lee, I guess, to get there. Yeah.
don't know. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see.
Okay. Tass, anything to add to this? Zach LaVine news?
Yeah, it is good news that they put in the press release, unlike Bradley Beal's press release, that there was a chance that, you know, Zach LaVine can still join. But, of course, horrible news if he can't be there because of, yeah, all this depth that they're struggling with. I will say, you know, watching the exhibition game against Spain, their last game since we talked about this news, Keldon Johnson did look really good in that sort of slasher role as just the guy, their energy little guy, just attack the rim. I think his energy will rub off on guys, maybe on Draymond Green a little bit, because Draymond has looked a little sluggish. And he said, you know, the goal is to be in shape by July 25th. I think they've got a team right now. But as long as these guys keep falling off, that's... Yeah, I mean, this is worrisome that when Zach LaVine falls off, I do agree that it is going to be tough for Booker, Middleton, and Drew to just come in and jump in. I mean, they need to play sort of supporting roles, but if there aren't starters, then that's a problem. That being said, I think, you know, if Zach LaVine is there, I think they should feel decent enough. But I mean, you can't just throw out guys who've never played together. Like if Drew, you know, and Devin are out there together, like that's tough. I mean, it is tough against the rest of the world. So hopefully Zach is out there. But I did like the way Keldon Johnson played on both ends, offensively and defensively, to add to whatever roster this team has left. It is pretty nuts how they're just falling off right now.
Jeremy Grant was also in health and safety protocols, and he has since, you know, been cleared and is, from what I know, traveling with the team to Tokyo. So, you know, maybe that's a good sign again for a guy like Zach LaVine who eventually gets there. But this is wild. Yeah, they start on Sunday, okay, against France, a good team.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, no pushover.
Beat them in 2019.
Yeah, and, you know, I would still have Team USA as the favorites for sure. I think most people would. But, yeah, like, as we've now seen, it's not just a given. It's not just like, just chuck them out there. They'll win. Don't worry. They'll figure it out. It's not that easy with the rest of the world, you know, catching up, so to speak. So makes for an exciting tournament when it feels like, ooh, they could lose, especially when they start losing guy after guy after guy. Makes it a little spicier in terms of the games, but
not even sending Corey Maggette, sending Josh Maggette.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then and Cam Reynolds is the third
Cam
guy,
Reynolds,
right?
Cam Reynolds, yeah.
Wow. I mean, I guess those guys are hoping more guys fall off. They're like, geez, we might have a crack at a medal. Yeah, we're back in this thing. All right, our next piece of news here. The headline is from ESPN. Denver Nuggets' Will Barton declines $14.7 million option, but both sides interested in a new deal, sources say. Just so everyone remembers, Barton, he suffered a hamstring injury. He missed more than 6 weeks, I think it was, at the end of the regular season into the playoffs. I think this makes sense for him to do this when you just look at the expected top-tier free agents. There's just not a lot of them on the market. So there's money out there. You'd be sort of silly not to test it. He's a good player. He's not a great player. But I'm fascinated to see whether or not the Nuggets and him come to an agreement, Lili, and then what that number is. You know, they're not going to have Jamal Murray for a good chunk of the season at the start. You know, if Will's healthy, then he sort of slots into that role. But then they got a lot of money tied up to their key players, you know. So this is a bit of a pickle, I think, here for the Nuggets to decide what they do. Because then you're like, well, if they move off from Barton, then who are they looking at to try and sort of fill that role? And that's, you know, you start looking at other names, you're like, who? You know, do they make a move on a Josh Hart or a Bullock or something like that? And Alec Burks, you know, it's maybe, I don't think it's at the level of a Barton. And I don't think they can afford a Norman Powell or a Gary Trent Jr. or like a Tim Hardaway Jr. So, well, I don't know what you think about where they go here.
Yeah, well, look, he's a 38% three-point shooter in his last two seasons, but he's also missed some time with injury. So it's a bit of a sort of give with one hand, take with the other. But he's going to be 31 around the start of next season. So if he's turning down 14.7, then he's looking at around 18 to 20 million, I think. I mean, I just think that's what he could expect. This is going to be his contract, his main contract of his career, because he's, you know, obviously going to be 34 if he was to sign a four-year deal, you know, going to 35 at the end of it. And again, I think you said it there, that this is just not a great free agent market. So teams are going to probably offer him pretty close to that. I can see a four-year, $80 million deal going his way, whether that's from Denver or somebody else. He's a good player. He's active. He's good on both ends of the floor. He's probably not worth it, but it's all about timing. So if he can get it, and again, I think he was wise to decline it, because I think at worst, he's getting, like, you know, 4 years and what, $70 million at least, I think. So it's just whether or not the Nuggets have got that cap space. I don't know what their cap space is right now, but obviously Jokic and Murray are going to take up a fair whack of it as it is. But yeah, then it is a Norm Powell. And Norm, basically, the Raptors traded him because they didn't want to have to pay him, you know, similar numbers. In fact, maybe Norm even gets a little bit more than Barton. Who knows? But yeah, I think he's getting around 4 years and $80 million. I think he's smart to opt out. I think his agent and him have come to a good decision here.
Yeah. What do you think, Trey?
I think timing is everything. Exactly right, because the free agent market this offseason isn't going to be as strong as it always has been. And like y'all are saying, Will Barton is extremely important to the Nuggets next season, with Jamal Murray still going to be recovering from his injury. It feels like Barton is going to be the main perimeter star for the Nuggets alongside Jokic and, you know, Aaron Gordon, though he's not necessarily a go-get-you-a-bucket kind of guy. But like Lee said, Will Barton's missed a lot of time. He's missed at least a quarter of his games in three of the last five seasons. Like you said, Murray and Jokic, big on the books. The Michael Porter Jr. extension is not too far down the line here. And then their team gets really, really expensive. So, Lee, you're saying like 4 for $80, which the dollar amount sounds right to me. Like $20 million per year, that seems like what Will Barton will probably be asking for. If you're turning down $15 million, I don't know, you'd... What, a third of a raise? Sure, who doesn't? Give him $20 million, but are the Nuggets really going to be paying him for four more years when they know they're going to have to pay for Michael Porter Jr.? They know they're eventually going to have to pay for Aaron Gordon if they want to keep him around as well. I don't know. If I was a team trying to get Will Barton, I would be going high on the years, because the Nuggets aren't going to want to pay him quite as much as the deal goes on.
Tass, anything to add to this?
Well, yeah, this is it's a tough scenario, I guess, for the Nuggets, because they want to win. There's no doubt. Are they looking for a trade? They were, you know, rumored to be in the Jrue Holiday sweepstakes. They could be looking at Bradley Beal. But do they have something to offer in return? I would say no, because I don't think they want to trade Michael Porter Jr. I think they go forward with this team, and that means that they need Will Barton on the squad. And the fact that Will Barton is turning down 14, I don't think necessarily means that he needs a huge raise. I just think he needs years. And, you know, it's a trade-off with, having missed so many games these last 3 years. So I think as long as he gets multiple years, you know, in the double digits, millions, whether it's 12, 13, 14, 15 million, I think that's all it really comes down to. And then they basically have their team. That's basically their roster, because they're, you know, sort of getting close to the cap at this point. For next season already. And Willie, I'm sure this is going to be his last payday, but I think the fact that he's missed so much time, I think they can come to an agreement and say, you know, you're going to play next year. Here's 3 and 50. That's enough for you. Let's move on. But yeah, if he wants to go get paid, obviously totally his right to go do that. These dudes don't need to show any loyalty to their teams if they don't want to. And he could probably get more just because of the free agent crop. But if they want to win in Denver, like that's their goal, then maybe he wants to be a part of that. And, you know, 20 per is probably not going to work for him with everybody that they've got locked in. They basically are going back with the same team next season. Everybody is locked in all the way down.
Yeah. Will Barton's been in Denver for how long now? How many seasons is he at?
Seven.
I was going to say six. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. It's been a
while. Checking it right now. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. He's been in 2014-15. He made his way there. So it's been a long time. Yeah. It's a good point, though, Tass. Does he want to, like, sort of stick around and see it out with them sort of, you know, on the rise still? I know the Jamal Murray injury was a bit of a setback, but they obviously have a really good team with MVP and Jokic there. So we'll see. Final one. Bleacher Report. Suns Devin Booker says he should never be compared to Lakers legend Kobe Bryant. Tass, is this news?
No, I guess not. I mean, he tried to say, compare me to Rip Hamilton. He tried to lower the bar a little bit. He said, one of my favorite guys growing up was Rip Hamilton. Can you compare him to me? He didn't say that. But I think, you know, the way we compare guys to greats is... it kind of, you know, it kind of kneecaps these guys, kneecaps their performance anyways. Devin Booker is doing something no other player has done in their first playoff run. He scored the most points for a guy in his first playoff season. But as soon as you mention the guy's name, like mention a guy like Kobe Bryant, immediately people will say, well, you know, Devin Booker's not that good. And you're already degrading or dismissing what he's doing this season.
Right.
So that's, I know it's the nature of the beast. We're going to compare him to someone. The Kobe thing is, yeah, it's obviously bonkers. But here he is in his first playoffs. He's in the NBA Finals. He's playing so, so well. It's a compliment on one hand, but on the other hand, you know, it's just kind of dismissive of what he's doing. So it really just comes down to rings. And if he can just come to the table with what Kobe did, you know, at the end when he was sitting on the bench and he was able to do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to someone. I mean, that's the only way these comparisons ever work, is if Devin Booker is able to pull out two more games. And it's, I think, again, we're asking way too much of him to be a 40 guy, drop 40, assist 8 to 10 times, please. I mean, what do you want him to do? I mean, James Harden did that for some stats, but he never, you know, won a championship that way. I mean, he needs some help, and Devin could get to a championship level where he's a starting shooting guard scoring 30 points on a finals team, but let's not compare him to one of the all-time greats.
Trey, what do you think?
This is not news, but I mean, how do you not compare Devin Booker to Kobe Bryant when he's wearing Kobe's shoes every single night? And he's talked multiple times about Kobe's inspirational words to him, and his game is pretty similar to Kobe Bryant, so I understand why the comparisons have happened. Devin Booker has had a much more impressive first playoff run than Kobe Bryant did. So if everything goes according to plan, you know, maybe we're comparing them in the future, but if Devin Booker ends up having a Kobe Bryant-like career, we're just going to be calling him Devin Booker, right? If he has 5 titles and an MVP and 15 all-star appearances, he's just one of the all-time greats, and we're saying, wow, you were inspired by Kobe Bryant. You did your own thing your own way.
Lee, anything to add?
Not on this one, no.
No. I think it was really funny, this clip, because they had him on The Jump, right? And I think it was Richard Jefferson that asked him about this Kobe comparison. And while he's saying this and giving us the headline, The Jump is showing clips of Kobe, you know, hitting a tough fadeaway baseline shot in the finals versus the Magic. And then right after that, an extremely similar looking Devin Booker, you know, fadeaway shot versus the Bucks in this finals. They show you another one. That's where the comparison is, you know, similar builds, and they play similar styles. You know, Booker obviously learning a thing or two from Kobe himself while he was here. So that's what the comparison is. But then you say comparison, and Tass, you're right. People start going, especially the ones that don't watch the games, are like, what do you mean? He has no titles and he didn't score this and he hasn't done this. You're like, no, the comparison is there in actually how they play basketball, like their shots, where they get their buckets from on the floor. That to me is fair. But good for Booker of basically saying, okay, please stop doing this. Even if we do sort of shoot the same, or I've taken parts of his game, this isn't good for anybody. Not for me, not for Kobe, not for the league, but not that people are going to stop doing it, I guess, either.
Yeah, and it's a little unfair to be comparing him to late Kobe Bryant career, you know, like to his late career when he was playing against the Magic. If you're going to compare him to one of his finals performances, compare him to the Pacers' finals performance in 2000 when they were somewhat similar in age. Kobe was still super young because he came in as a high schooler. But you know, Devin's at 23 now. Kobe, you know, back then, I'd say it's about 22. So, you know, that's the right comparison. Devin's balling here. We'll talk. The comparisons will be a little bit more fair in a decade.
Yeah. And, you know, Kobe at that point was playing with Shaq, of course, winning the titles. And Booker is playing against the new age Shaq and Giannis. Maybe they need to pair up. A little Giannis Booker, there you go. Now you got Kobe Shaq 2.0 and just go win a bunch of titles. Trey, you're excited.
Hey, man, it's the NBA. It's not far-fetched that these two could end up on the same team. It'll probably be the Heat or the Lakers.
Yeah, probably. All right, we got to take one more break, but then JD's got Tweet of the Night, and you never know what that means. So we'll be right back.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Wow, I can't believe it's Tuesday again. It feels like Friday or Saturday or something, but anyways, I got Tweet of the Night, and I forgot. I found it during the show. I was thinking of going the Austin Powers route because... That was hilarious, but then you blew that up at the beginning of the show's heat. So I went
the
with this one.
The rocket blew up?
Rocket. So the rocket landed safely. Everybody's okay, good. Safe. Good. It's a happy ending there. But this is our old friend Kristen Ledlow, who tweeted yesterday. Big thanks to @KingJames for letting me live a childhood dream. In brackets. And stand in a few scenes on the set of Space Jam. That's all, folks. And then a bunny emoji and then a nice picture of LeBron and Kristen. So I bring this up basically because we're going to record our film session today. It's going to drop on Monday, our reaction to Space Jam, A New Legacy. But I was looking at the replies to this tweet. And
oh boy. Don't ever
people
do that.
Think that she's in it. People think that. Now, I did not see Kristen Ledlow in Space Jam. And I don't think she says she's in Space Jam.
No.
She just says I was standing in for a few scenes, which is basically standing, visiting the set is what she did. But, anyways. I'll scrub through one more time before we do the show, just to see if I can catch a glimpse. Tass Mellis style, see if I can find Benji Levy in the Raptor stands there. But
that was John.
You found John. Yeah.
But why couldn't Kristen have been in the crowd at the court?
That would have been a great spot.
Hey, she's part of the WB family. I think she should have been front and center, right there next to Catwoman '60s and Catwoman '89.
Wow, you really did check out the background. Or were they front and center? I don't know.
They're pretty front and center. Yeah. I definitely saw two Catwomans.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, we're spoiling our film session, but half the movie is like, hey, it's the Leo. It's the Leo meme.
Right. Totally.
Game of Thrones guy. Yeah, cool. Yeah. I guess.
But if I had seen Kristen Ledlow, I would have been actually like, hey, Kristen Ledlow. Sure.
Well, it's sort of like disappointing, by all accounts, that she's not actually in it. And I'm with you, JD. I don't think she's in it because I think she would have said that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and hopefully we would have seen it too because we just watched the movie. But I remember, like, she is a Space Jam diehard and has been, like, angling to get in Space Jam 2 for, I think, like, a decade. So it's easily. Almost like, I want to say it's almost like a little disappointing. They just didn't throw her in.
Yeah.
In a scene. Yeah. Like, why not? But yeah. Anyway, at least she got to visit the set. It did look fun. And got a photo with LeBron James. That's not bad, too.
Not bad.
All right. So are you excited to record this film session later this afternoon, JD?
Am I excited? Oh, yes. I'm very excited. It was, okay. I won't reveal my thoughts on it here, but, you know, I think that the fans will be delighted. Be delighted by our reaction. That's what I think.
Nice.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I can't wait to talk to you about it. Like you said, we're going to record it later today, and then that will go up early next week once the finals are over and we got a little more free days there to throw those type of podcasts up as we lead up to the draft next week. You're also off next week, aren't you, JD? And same with Tess, too.
That's
so.
Exactly right. I was just going to say, I might actually post this film session over the weekend because I'm going to be on a dock in the Northern Ontario, and I don't think I want to deal with it. So
you're going to be listening to some Bob Cajun?
Goddamn right, I'm listening to Bob Cajun on a loop.
Wow, watching the constellations. I'm excited for you. Yeah, okay. I can't wait. Oh, yeah. People are saying Sarah is in the stream team. That we did Space Jam, the first one, film session with Zach Harper.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about that he came on for that one.
I remember
fans.
It being pretty good.
What? The podcast.
The podcast.
We're not that high on the original Space Jam, so I am fascinated to see what the guys think of Space Jam 2, or A New Legacy, whatever the heck we're calling it. So, again, that will be a... out next week, but congrats to Kristen on at least visiting the set. And Ledlow, if you're watching or listening, let us know if you're actually in this thing. Again, I'm skeptical that she is in it without she would have told us, right, Trey? Yeah. That's what she would have done.
Yeah, is this her telling us that she was one of the, like, I mean, there's like a million extras, right? Like, she could easily be, you know, just in a whatever, just wearing clothes, sitting over there, standing there cheering on the Space Jam, that kind of thing. She definitely could. I don't know. Yep. Let's see if she drops a screenshot.
I guess. So you feel like it's okay if you were in like the 10th row of the, you know, the final game in Space Jam A New Legacy. You can't really see you. You're blurry, but you know it's you because you were there. You feel okay saying to somebody, I was in Space Jam A New Legacy?
Oh, 100%. If you were like if it's a clear enough shot that you can tell that it's you, it could still be blurry, but you know, you'd be like, hey, look, this is my shirt that I have. I think if you can prove it and you're a big Space Jam fan, of course you're saying, yeah, I was in Space Jam. Haha, look at this. It was 4 seconds and I was just in the background going wild.
Okay. Lee, you're nodding your head. You agree with this.
After Canada won the Olympic gold medal in 2002, I was on the front page of the Toronto Star. Like my arm and my like neck. I was like that. I've got a
Are
copy
you serious?
Of, yeah,
That's
I've got a
really
copy of
funny.
It at home somewhere. I'll see if Dad can send over a photo of it. Yeah, so I was on the front cover of the Toronto Star celebrating Canada's gold medal.
Wait. Hold on. Why would Dickie have that newspaper? If you said
because I was in Toronto, so I bought like 3 copies of it and I kept it forever. So they're back in Australia.
Oh, you took them home to Australia?
Yeah. Well, I went from... Actually, where did I go? I went from Canada
Does no
to
one else find that weird? You're a grown man. You're in the paper. It's there. It's yours. But yeah, for some reason, you got to get it back to Dickie to archive it?
It's much safer. Much safer in Dickie's hands than mine.
I guess so. I mean, he does keep everything in pristine fashion. So, okay.
Yeah. You act like it's just Dickie's house, but I think it's the Ellis Family Library where you keep all
like
important documents. Yeah, they have to live there.
Yeah, that is. It's like a museum, really, isn't it? So, I'll send him. Hang on, what time is it right now? It's where am I? Where is he? It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
I wish he would just walk out from behind that sliding door, but
he's not. Dickie's here. All right, so good luck finding that newspaper.
I'll try. Yeah.
Well, so was your face? Sorry, was your face in the photo or just your arms?
No, it's like because the guy who I was like the guy who was right next to me
hairy arms. He knows
was going crazy, you know, and his face was in it because he was celebrating and I was standing right next to him. Okay. And you could sort of see my arm and I'll see if I can track it down. Anyway.
Wait, are you in a bar? Are you in a bar?
Yeah, well, you know, guess where we are? Guess the one place we would be to watch the gold medal game in Canada.
What year? 2002.
2002 it was, yeah. Which bar would you go to watch it?
Gretzky's.
Gretzky's, of course. Yeah. I'm still actually Wayne still owes me $20 for that because he was charging people $20 to get into the bar to watch Canada's gold medal. I'm like, come on, Wayne. I know you don't actually own the bar. I don't think he did own it in the end, did he? I think he just licensed his name to them.
Yeah.
Come on, Wayne. You don't need that. You don't need those $20. Wayne. Come on. It's a big day for Canada. Have some fun.
So I bought some more newspapers of photos of your arms that you saved.
That's going to be a hilarious part of the Lee Ellis Museum, the exhibit in Mickey's house, where you're just looking at this photo going, why is this in here? Ah, that's his arm. Well, wow. Yeah. All right. Well, at least Wayne took that $20, put it to good use, made himself a wine company. Right?
Yeah.
Full circle. Always comes back to Moverney. Love your wine, Wayne. Okay, guys. Send your emails in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com for the next Beach Dumping podcast. Subscribe to The Athletic, TheAthletic.com/NoDunks, so they know that we sent you. Go to NoDunks.com if you want your NoDunks merch. And again, if the series ends tonight, we're back here live on YouTube soon after the game to talk about it. And there will be a limited edition new No Dunk shirt. So that will also go up. But that is only if the Bucks win tonight. Otherwise, we'll see you in the morning if the Suns win.
Cool story, bro.
Damn.
That was my mistake.
Who did that?
Jesus.
That was totally my mistake.
I'm literally trying to plug our show. I'm getting a cool... I'm not destroyed cool this stuff. Show for no reason at all. Starts with TK Tasta burying me at the end. I love it. Clipper Bros, who's playing that one?
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, sorry about that, Skeets. I thought you'd be laughing, yeah. But no. I was trying to load a photo of Lee's hairy arm since we were talking about his arms. But the only hair photo I could find of Lee was him holding some roses with a real master poof on it.
Now, is that guy a hooper or a basketball player?
I think that's a looper.
Your wet shirt.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.